Lloyd? Oh, let's see. Wait, Lloyd, are you there?
Yeah.
Lloyd, did you have any men on the show, or was it just pretty women?
Oh, I had pretty women on the show, but I had lots of men. I had, what was I just, yeah, just today we, I was looking at, on television, one of those shows that sells all the old, you know, all the old records, memory lane type thing, and Bobby Rydell is the host of this show.
One of the golden boys, right?
One of these things, and I'm looking at Bobby Rydell, and I'm thinking, my God, there's Bobby Rydell. That's what he looks like.
And he looks the same, too, right?
He looks the same, a little older as we all are, but it's really amazing, you know, it's still Bobby Rydell. He's got a couple more pounds on him. I mean, he still looks great. He's not heavy or anything, but he was really thin when he was Bobby Rydell, the pop singer, but a great guy. And it was fun to see him, you know, on television.
Well, I got an email. Speaking of fun, I got an email with two really cool. They're pictures of you on the set of the Lloyd Thaxton Show. These were just emailed to me a little while ago, and it's from a gentleman who said that the guy that Lloyd's talking to, that's me. And I want you to say hello, because he's on the telephone line. Good evening, and welcome to Relics and Rarities.
Yeah, Lloyd, you had a lot of good guys on there, too, back in 1965.
Yeah, who's this?
That's John Madeira from The Spokesman.
Hey, how are you?
We had the record, The Dawn of Correction.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, Dave White and myself had written At the Hop, and Rock and Roll's Here to Stay, and You Don't Own Me, and 1, 2, 3. We talked about all that on the show.
Johnny Madeira is of course, living in California. All the great people, whatever, they're all in California. But Johnny was originally from the Philadelphia area, and, you know, Johnny wrote and was involved with Chubby Checker Hit Records, as he mentioned, Danny and the Juniors, Leslie Gore, Len Barry, who did the song, you know, 1, 2, 3.
And all those people on the show.
And, of course, he was on your show, and he sent me just a little while ago two really cool pictures of his group, The Spokesman, who were on the Decca label, and they're talking to you on the set, and here he is on the telephone line.
You know why that everyone from Philadelphia moved to L.A. is because they had been watching Dick Clark, and Dick Clark was coming from back east in Philadelphia, and everyone thought that's where everything was. Well, when the Lloyd Thaxton Show came on, and they started looking at all the California girls, and the beach scene, and the Beach Boys, and all of that. That's why all the Philadelphia people came, and they came out to California to live.
That was my first trip to California, and we came out to promote our record, and we did the Lloyd Thaxton Show. And that was really a big thrill.
Well, I'm glad. It's so great to, you know, to talk to you.
Johnny, anything that you can that you remember about the trip to Thaxton, you know, any particular craziness about the show or any funny stories, any dirt you can tell us about Lloyd Thaxton?
I remember we were always so nervous. I was always so nervous doing all those television shows because we were really writers and producers, and singing wasn't really, you know, that wasn't at the top of our list. And I remember how Lloyd was just—he was so calming, and he was so easy to be around. And it just made you feel at home. So that was my memory of that Lloyd Thaxton Show. That I know that I was so nervous, and I remember when we got to be interviewed by Lloyd, and that picture, which I sent to you, always remember I had a smile on my face because I felt very calm during the interview.
What is Johnny Madeira doing these days?
Well, you know, I'm getting ready to make the movie At the Hop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, please tell the listeners about this. They might not have heard this.
But we're starting production in September, it's Birth of Rock and Roll, 1957, and we've got Joe Pesci, Jay Moore, and Ernest Borgnine, actually.
Maybe if I work on my act, I can play Lloyd Thaxton in the movie. Well, actually, he could play himself, I guess, even though he was a West Coast guy. Yeah, that's right. I'm closer to Philly. I could play Thaxton.
No, I would have to play Lloyd Thaxton's grandfather.
Where are you living now, Lloyd?
In Studio City.
Oh, you live in Studio City? Okay.
Yeah.
He probably has, like, famous neighbors and everything.
Yeah, I moved in from Philadelphia in 72. I lived in Philly when I did the show.
Uh-huh.
But I moved out to California in 72. I live up in Cambria now.
living in L.A.?
In Cambria.
Oh.
By the Hearst Castle there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's up north a bit.
Yeah, we're about 250 miles north.
Yeah.
Of Los Angeles.
Well, I was going to say, I was going to come over and have a chat, but I'm not driving 250 miles for anybody.
Well, how about we all meet halfway? I'll join you.
That would be a joy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Johnny, I believe you must have a website as well.
That's Philly Sound, which is we're really promoting the music from Philadelphia and all the stuff that I wrote and produced. But a lot of great classics that are really available on our website that are available no place else. Just some of the best stuff from a lot of the great artists I worked with.
And that's simply thatphillysound.com?
Sound.com.
Okay. Well, listen, Johnny. Of course, the record that Johnny did on the Thatcher Show, was it the one record, the hit record at the time, the answer song to Eve of Destruction?
Yeah, the Dawn of Correction, which was the answer to the Eve of Destruction.
Lloyd, you remember the record, right?
Of course I do.
There you go.
Of course.
Anyway, listen, we've got the pictures to send you if you need them.
The pictures are fun.
We'll jar the memory if you need that done.
All right, you're gonna send a picture to me, right? Dave?
Yeah, I'll forward one. Is that okay? I can forward the picture, right, Johnny?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I look at this picture and remember having hair on my head. So it's a wonderful. I love looking back. I go, wow, look at that. All that hair.
Well, this is a record that we're going to play the record. It was like we mentioned, it was the answer song to the Eve of Destruction. Unfortunately, in real life, there has never been an answer to Eve of Destruction.
No, there hasn't. The Eve of Destruction was actually one of the first records to come out. That was kind of the beginning of the changeover in the music of that era. Yes.
Yeah, it began like the politics of music.
That's the when that came out, and that song was also featured on my show. But it was kind of the end of rock and roll as we knew it for the years that preceded it. It went through a period that I think was not really a very good period for music, but it soon recovered and went on. And but it was as I said earlier, it was a bad time for a lot of people, and
it really was.
And it was very hard to. I know there were kids that grew up that were in high school after my show was on that I talked to later, and they said that they wished that they were in high school when my show was on because it just seemed like a much happier time, and it really was. The early 60s, as much as was going on in the 60s, it was still a happier time for teenagers.
Sure, it was
in 1968, it started to change and got kind of rough.
Exactly. It was the age of innocence. It still was the carryover from 1957, 58, 59.
Oh, when I see pictures of the kids on the show, I have lots of them, of course, we all look so square.
And by the way, Johnny, if you could speak any louder, it's difficult to hear you. But we're going to play the record for you. Johnny, I want to thank you for taking time out on a Saturday night and joining myself and Lloyd Faxon on my Relics and Rarity show.
Lloyd, thank you so much for the good memories, my friend. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you.
Lloyd, I can't believe you put Johnny on that show with the spokesman. That tough kid from Philadelphia, and actually the record was he actually... I wanted to say for the record that the spokesmen, of course, they made the most noise with the Dawn of Correction, but they really made a lot of very good records. I guess if you want to call Relics kind of like the hits of the period and the rarities, the records that perhaps should have been a hit or deserve more play, the spokesmen had a lot of really cool rarities. I would like to just say that, beside...
The thing that changed in the 60s, and Johnny will agree with this, it was more the time when all of the artists were writing their own songs.
Absolutely.
And they were saying, and you really had to, so that you not only had a singing talent, you had writing talent, you had producing talent, and this is what happened. Really, before that, a lot of the artists had come on, they were singing somebody else's material. They were great at what they did, and they were great records, but it's when, really in the late 60s and into the 70s, almost every popular artist was writing his own music.
Exactly. That was really when the big breakthrough through the writer-performer started happening.
Wasn't it great to be there at that time?
Oh, it was the best. and to be a kid, you know, you're still just a young person. And it was just it was the best time of all.
Yeah,
it really
yeah.
was. And it was the age of innocence, and it was the age of really being super creative, because it was everything was still so new.
And everything he's describing, Lloyd, trust me, will be captured. Knowing the great records that and the great artists that Johnny Madera had been involved with, yeah, I've got this great feel that what he's just discussed with you will be very well captured in the movie, which is coming out, I guess, in a couple of years or 2 years, whatever. You know,
hey, while I was here, I just came up with something that describes it perfectly. You know what it is? It's called The Dawn of Correction. How does that work?
Let's spin it. Johnny Madera from The Spokesman, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much, David. Thank you so much again, Lloyd.
Thank you, John.
The Western world has a common dedication to keep free people from red domination. Maybe you can't vote, boy, but man your battle station, or there'll be no need for voting in future generations. So over and over again, you keep saying it's the end. But I say you're wrong, we're just on the dawn of correction. There are buttons to push in two mighty nations, but who's crazy enough to risk annihilation? The buttons are there to ensure negotiation, so don't be afraid, boy, it's our only salvation. So over and over again, you keep saying it's the end. But I say you're wrong, we're just on the dawn of correction. That marches won't bring integration, but look what it's done for the voter registration. Be thankful our country allows demonstrations instead of condemning. Make some recommendations. I don't understand the cause of your aggravation. You mean to tell me, boy, it's not a better situation? What about the things that deserve commendation? Where there once was no cure, there's vaccination. Where there once was a desert, there's vegetation. Self-government's replacing colonization. Well, what about that Peace Corps organization? Don't forget the work of the United Nations.
Spokesman on the Decca record label. That was the answer. See, if you didn't like what the Eve of Destruction said, you might have agreed with it, maybe not, but that was the answer song. The Dawn of Correction. Of course, the lead singer, Johnny Madera, moments on the phone, one of our guests here on Relics of Rarities. Of course, my main guest, Lloyd Thaxton. Lloyd, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's so thoughtful of you to get those people to come on, because I haven't talked to any of them for so many years, and it's really great. Where else could you do it?
Well, listen, I want to know that Dave the Rave will get a high mark on that blog.
He will get a high mark on that blog.
Listen, we've got phones ringing. Let's go to our phone line. Hi, who's on the telephone line? Hello?
Hello there, Dave the Rave.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Bob Miranda from The Happenings.
Bob Miranda from The Happenings.
How you doing?
Listen, it's not September.
It doesn't matter.
Well, listen, say hello to Lloyd Thaxton. I know that's why you're... These people don't always call me. You got to realize that, Lloyd.
Is this the Bob Miranda?
This is Bob Miranda, the Bob Miranda. Is this... The Lloyd Thaxton?
This is the Lloyd Thaxton, yes.
Well, I think we might...
So what?
We might know each other. I'm not sure. It's been so long.
Well, it's only been 40 years, so...
Well,
time passes fast when you're having a good time.
And actually, 40 years is a good benchmark because Bob Miranda and The Happenings, of course, celebrated last year 40 years in the music business. Because I know for a fact... And even their record, one of their more recent CDs, is called Still Going Strong. And they did a great show for us, Lloyd, at XM. When I was down at XM, I remember sitting in a park with Bob. I guess we were sitting, Bob, in your car or mine, in some park in Patterson. And I was telling him about my new job at XM Radio, and I'm like, come on, you got to bring the band down to Washington, D.C. for this nationwide broadcast, and we're going to pay you big bucks. Yeah, right.
Right, it wasn't Patterson, it was Nutley, New Jersey.
Nutley, New Jersey. But they came down, and I guess one of the recent CDs that they actually put out was they have a CD out called Live on XM Sat, Live at XM Radio. I wrote the liner notes, and... Bob, I heard recently from one of the other band members, so we'll clue in Lloyd Thaxton to this as well, that the XM Live and another one of your CDs is now also available, readily available on iTunes, I believe.
That's true. We just agreed to that kind of a deal where you can download any of the cuts from either of those CDs. Yeah, that's a great thing.
You know, Lloyd, we were talking about some of the nuttiness about the Lloyd Thaxton show.
Lloyd, do you remember us doing the show at all?
Yes, I do. You know,
really?
Surprisingly enough, I was just talking earlier about the fact that in the years that I did the show, we did 2,000 shows.
My God.
And people will say, you know, will call me up or email me and say, do you remember when I was on? And I never can, a lot of times I will remember the group and I will remember the song, but I won't necessarily remember whether they were on because people are coming and going so much.
Oh, sure.
That you're going, well, wait a minute, maybe they were on another show and maybe I never met them. I just, because, you know, I used to play songs, you know, when the guests weren't there, so I would say, did I play that song or were they on? And it isn't because I'm getting old, as a lot of people say, oh, you're getting old. It's because it was a long time ago.
It was a lot of shows. Dude.
Yes, but I do remember. I do.
Oh.
Well, we were talking earlier, Bob, about the fact that Lloyd's show, you know, put a lot of fun in the music. You know, Lloyd would do these crazy skits sometimes with records, you know, lip syncs or whatever. And it was a very, you know, beside the great musical guests and great records that it would play, you know, it was actually like something you could sit back and, you know, chuckle to, have a nice laugh with. Would you agree with that, Lloyd?
Oh.
Well, as I've said many times, I never called my show a dance show. You just called it a music show for young adults. I always thought that was more intelligent. Even though kids did dance on the show, there was always something else going on. I mean, if the kids were dancing, there was always someone lip-syncing, or there was a guest performing while they were dancing, or the kids themselves were lip-syncing, the kids themselves were doing craziness, and because I was never a disc jockey. Most people always say that I was a TV disc jockey. I was never a disc jockey. In fact, I did some radio, but I was terrible on radio. One of the reasons I was never a disc jockey on radio is because I was no good. And I was a visual type guy. And it's very hard to be successful when you're a visual type guy. I always joked that radio is where the ugly people worked. And I wasn't ugly.
Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, I wasn't ugly enough to work in radio.
He must have seen my picture, Bob.
No, as a matter of fact, I have your picture up on my computer while I'm doing this show.
Well, you know, I used to kid Bob. You know, I remember one of the first times I saw The Happenings, you know, was on a TV show, and they were out on a canoe on the, I guess it was Where the Action Is, the Dick Clark show.
Oh,
And they're out there on this canoe, and you can tell that, I guess they, I don't know, Bob, maybe you could tell us that you couldn't hear the monitors. It seemed like the lip syncing was off from the music.
Yeah, it seems, I saw it recently, that video that you're talking about, and the lip syncing is way off. Because the monitor, we couldn't hear, you know, and...
Well, they had you out in the middle of a lake.
Yeah.
And now Lloyd would never do anything like that to you.
You know what we did one time? You get a kick out of this. We had we presented actually the first Beatles song in stereo, and the way we did it is it was a special setup where we did it with a local radio station. Gene Weed was the disc jockey, and what he did was he played one half of the music on the left. And then we played the music on the right, and we had people put their radios like 6 feet from the TV and then stand right in the center. And this was the first time people actually heard what it sounded like. But here's what happened. When they fed the music, they fed the rhythm to the radio and the vocals without the rhythm to us. So the kids were out there. They didn't know what to do. It's like you not being able to hear to do your lip sync. The kids were going, what do we do? It's the Beatles singing and there's no beat. But, you know, it still came off fun and it was great. And yeah. I love it when people, you know, when things like that happen because they don't happen every time. And it's nice when it happens to you because people remember that.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of crazy things, you know, Bob, you've got to repeat for our listeners a story that you once told me that I still to this day think you've improvised. But you played a show, I guess somewhere around 66, 67. You played a show with the Capitals. And do you remember the story that you told me about the Capitals, a group that did Cool Jerk?
Yeah.
It's worth repeating. Lloyd, you'll get a kick out of this.
Well, you had to be there, first of all. But Capitals used to end their show with Cool Jerk. But they were, you know, they were like acrobatic, too. I mean, they did like this finale where they would, you know, run, one of the guys would run from the from backstage and they would hold their hands together and flip him over and he would do like a flip. And we played at this high school, I guess it was, one time, and they flipped. He came out at the end of the show. He ran out from backstage and they flipped him, but they flipped him too hard. And he went right in, he fell off the stage into the drums and all the band equipment on, you know, on the back of the stage there. He came up with a cymbal on his head. It was like ridiculous. You know?
His head went through the skin of the bass drum, I think you told me.
It was so funny. But those guys were great. I mean, they were talented and they really were so agile. This was like, I never saw them miss before, but that night they missed and it was really funny.
Well, you were glad to be there that night.
I was glad to be there that night.
Now, of course, Bob is still performing today. I know you've got a pretty good schedule that you maintain every year. I'd like to mention the website. It's www.thehappenings.com. And I know you've got some shows coming up with Mitch Ryder and the Turtles. And Bob, wasn't there a PBS show that you're going to be doing, or did you already do that?
Well, we already taped it on November 8th with My Music. That'll be on, I think, around March. And we did it with some of the legends that are, believe it or not, older than us. People like Robert Goulet and Ed Ames and Tony Martin, who is 93 years old.
Wow!
And he sang three songs and sounded pretty darn good, really.
He's 93?
He's 93 years old. He's still married to Sid Charisse. I flew with him from L.A. here to Pittsburgh, and we flew back together. I got to know him and his musical director very well. The sweetest man. And
you know, I had Tony Martin on the show before I did the Lloyd Thaxton show. I had a show called Lloyd Thaxton's Record Shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just on all by myself and would interview people and play records and so forth. And Tony Martin was one of the guests I had. And he was really a delightful person.
Oh, what a great guy.
And that was 45, 46 years ago, and he was married to Sid Cerise then.
Yeah.
So that's great to hear.
I was sitting next to him in the plane, and there was a younger woman sitting next to him, and she had no idea who he was, and I kept telling her, he's a movie star, this guy. This guy did movies with Judy Garland, and you know, he did believable things. And she said to him at one point, is that your son, meaning me?
Yeah.
Because I helped him up a couple of times.
Yeah.
And he said, no, my son is 74 years old. Unbelievable.
You know, Bob, like yourself, Lloyd, he's another California, you know, artist from New Jersey originally, living now in California.
Well, you know, that's one of the great things about when I did my show, being in California.
Yeah.
Is that just about two-thirds of the guests I had on the show actually lived here in California. And, you know, I had little things like, I had a group on called the Four Freshmen. A great singing group from the 50s and also had records into the 60s. And it's the Four Freshmen sound that the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson, copied in order to do things like In My Room and so forth. And I had the Four Freshmen on the show, and the show was live always. And when the show was over, I was sitting in my office, and all of a sudden the door bangs open, and in comes Brian Wilson, and he says, are they still here? And I said, no, they left about 15 minutes ago. He had been watching the show at home, saw the Four Freshmen, jumped in his car, and drove from Beverly Hills into Hollywood,
no kidding,
trying to get there just to catch, to say hello to the Four Freshmen.
Huge fan. I know that their sound was so influenced by the Four Freshmen. I was a big fan of those guys, too. Also, the High Lows.
Yeah, right.
I love the High Lows.
High Lows and the Four Freshmen, and if you listen to, you know, any of the Beach Boys things, although they put their own blend into it, you can see that the influence, and Brian admits it, you know, the Four Freshmen are the guys that he loved so much, their sound, and he wanted the Beach Boys to sound like that.
Were there any particular influences, Bob, that you had for yourself?
Oh, definitely the, you know, High Lows, Four Freshmen. We were never really a doo-wop type of group. We were strongly influenced by groups like the Freshmen, and personally, I was influenced by people like Frankie Lyman, Johnny Ray. I'm still big fans of those guys. In fact, I do, well, you know, Dave the Rave knows, I do some Johnny Ray songs in my... in our show, so...
Johnny Ray, boy, there's a name to the past.
Right, yeah, but a great one.
Oh, he was great.
I think he was exceptional, so those guys stand out.
Well, Bob, I want to thank you for taking time on your Saturday evening. Thank God you're on the West Coast, so I guess for you it's only like 9:35 in the evening.
Only 9:35, yeah, but I just want to say that, Lloyd, do you know how informative this guy is, Dave the Rave, he knows more about me than I know about me. He's scary, man. He knows more about music minutiae than anybody I know. So he's just a scary guy.
That's why I don't want to get in any kind of a battle with him. You know, he's always asking me about things, and I have to pretend that I know.
I have to tell you this. Let me make a confession. I think I've been kind tonight because you're right. I could have asked a lot more probing questions, but you know, Lloyd pretty much said up front that he didn't, you know, because of all the many shows and the fact that there were 40 years ago, that if I get into some of the oddball groups and you know, I'm probably not going to get you know, the positive responses. Would that be a correct assumption, Lloyd?
Well, it was whatever you mean by oddball.
Well, I mean, for example, like, you know, one of the things I would love to ask you is, you know, we have a lot of listeners who dig, you know, what they call the garage sound, you know, and I'm taking a guess and assuming that some of those groups probably ended up on your show. I'm sure they were groups like, you know, Sky Saxon from the Seeds. group.
See, when you talk about the Garage Sound, you have to also include people like Jan and Dean.
Well, that I would call that surf music.
You have the Beach Boys?
No, that would be surf music. Garage would be...
I'm talking about they started in garages and recording.
Well, that's true. But the Garage was kind of like that snotty rock and roll kind of a sound. Group like the Preachers. There's a lot of groups that were in L.A. that I'm betting, if we look through the video footage, Sam Mash probably picked some of those records and said to you, Lloyd, these groups are making a lot of noise. We should probably get them on the show.
Bob, you're right. Dave's scary.
I told you.
He's really scary.
And Bob, I want to tell you that Bob knows that for many years I've been trying to find a copy of... he had a promotional 45, Lloyd, that was handed out only at the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade in, I guess, 1966. It was not sold in any store. You only had to be at the Macy's Parade in New York to get a copy of this 45. And for many years, I've been looking for it. And this past year, Bob, knock on wood,
you got it.
I got it.
I was ready to sell you mine.
Well, I offered many times. I won't tell you what I offered because, you know, I ended up getting it for a lot cheaper.
Yeah, glad.
But, Bob, thanks so much for joining myself and, of course, my great guest tonight, Lloyd Thaxton. Right. Bob Miranda, The Happening. And people, please go to the website, www.thehappenings.com, and pick up the CDs and go see The Happenings in concert because they really sound good. They did. They're great.
Dave and Lloyd, it was just a pleasure talking to you after 40 years once again. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's great talking to you, too. You know, you have to check out my blog. You know, we talked about everybody's website.
Yeah, please mention the blog, the address, Lloyd.
You know, all you have to do to get my blog is just go to Google and write in Lloyd Thaxton.
Okay.
And the first thing that comes up is my blog. And then you just click on it. You don't have to remember anything. Just go to Google, write in Lloyd Thaxton, boom, the first thing. There it is, my blog.
You know, because my show is Relics and Rarities, and of course I know we've had a lot of talk tonight and not a lot of music, and for those who prefer the music, I do apologize, but for me it's just such a thrill to have Lloyd on and all the artists who wanted to be a part of the show. But, you know, the relics, of course, of The Happenings are songs like See You in September and Go Away, Little Girl, and Lloyd, I'm sure you remember I Got Rhythm. But I guess the first Happening single, which would be a rarity, because this one, you know, I think was probably played up in the Boston area, and I'm not sure where else it might have been played, but maybe you could tell us something. I'd like to play your first Happening single, Bob. Tell us about it.
Girls on the Go? Is that what you
Yes, mean? Exactly.
It was a big hit in Springfield, Mass., and nowhere else. It didn't make it past Springfield, Mass. They loved it up there, and I think it was one of the first... times we appeared as The Happenings.
I think, did the record just say Bob Miranda on it? I'm trying to remember.
No, it's at The Happenings.
Okay.
You know, you realize, Bob, that us being on this show, we become official relics. Up till now, you know, people only guessed it, but now I'm an official relic.
At least they're not calling us fossils.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, relic is better than a fossil.
Relic is better than a fossil.
Yeah, well, my son isn't 74 years old either, though.
Listen, I want to also state for the record that if I was the Sam Ash of Lloyd Thaxton's TV show, Girls on the Go would have been a national hit.
Well, thank you, Dave.
You know, but Bob Miranda, The Happenings, thank you so much, and let's take a listen to the first official Happenings 45.
Okay, buddy.
Take care now. That, of course, is the first official 45 by The Happenings and Girls on the Go. Now, Lloyd, you were digging on that record, weren't you?
Yeah.
You see that? What was Sam Mash thinking? You're gonna have to track him down and find out why he never gave you that record, because then Bob could have had another hit record for The Happenings.
No, I gotta tell you about Sam, because being on radio now is a great opportunity. But when the show went off the air, Sam moved away, got married, and moved away.
And took all your records?
Well, I gave him records. I gave him all these records. He is not the same Sam Ash that people know about, the, you know, the record,
the music store
Sam Ash. But I would love to know where he is right now. I haven't heard from him in probably 30 years. And he was a very important person on my show. And I other people on the show that worked with me also asked the same question: where is Sam Ash? And I know he's out there somewhere, and if he happens to be listening right now, I hope he's going to get in touch with
me. I hope he will call me first, because I want those records.
Yeah, okay. At least he had a real big collection.
What was your relationship, just out of curiosity, you know, was it a friendly relationship that you had with, like, the Wink Martindales and the Dick Clarks and the Casey Kasem, or was it, was it ice cold at times?
Oh, no, never ice cold. No, Wink was a good friend. I see Casey Kasem a lot recently. We have some other mutual friends that have every New Year's, they always have a big bash at their house. And Casey's always there. I see Wink at different places and so forth. We don't all move in the same circles, but we were friends then and we're friends now. There was never animosity at all between any of the DJs. The real Don Steele was a good friend of mine.
Well, and what a great disc jockey.
And Robert W. Morgan was a friend of mine. He even did a little TV show that came on after my show for a while, a little local show. And, everybody was doing their own thing. We were not in competition with one another. We respected one another, and there was no backbiting or anything, at least not as far as I knew. These guys were, doing their job, and they were terrific, and I it was an honor to know them. So there was never any animosity at all.
I know you've covered some of this in your blog, but for the listeners that may not have seen the blog...
Oh, wait a minute, one more time.
Yeah, please.
Google, put in Lloyd Thaxton. It's the first thing that comes up. Okay.
Okay, and please do visit Lloyd's blog, because I can tell you, for people who have blogs, it's only fun if people, participate and send comments back and forth. And, you keep it active, it keeps it fun.
That's right.
And let me quickly mention...
you said I mentioned something in the blog that...
But you just made me think about something. I want to once again thank the people from Top Shelf Oldies. We have a lot of great, loyal listeners out there. And I thank all of you who have put up with the show tonight. I know many of you are enjoying it. And again, you know how those shows go. Some people just love to hear those oddball 45s. But it's a pleasure for me, and I hope you don't mind me indulging. I hope you're enjoying our program tonight with Lloyd Thaxton and the many people who have called in. I also want to thank Spectropop people who were nice to post the show on their bulletin board. It's www.spectropop.com. And a really great newsletter about those forgotten hits, the B-sides, the rare records. It's the 60s shop at AOL.com. If you want to join their particular newsletter, their blog, it's just send them an email. Tell them that you heard about it on Relics of Rarities and get on the list, because it's really a lot of fun. If you don't like it, you'd always get off the list, but it's the 60S shop at AOL.com. Kent runs the newsletter, and he does a great job with it. I want to thank him for letting his people know about tonight's show. And your blog, Lloyd, talks a little bit about radio today. And let me tell you my quick story. I was doing my thing at XM Radio, and basically program directors changed. New program director comes in. He says, "Listen, man, I don't know what the heck you're playing. I don't know these records. Radio is about the hits, and not about these oddball B-sides. What do you mean you're playing The Happenings' first record? It wasn't a hit. How can you play the record?" So, you know, I'm having a lot of fun doing internet radio. And of course, I'm actually doing a couple of, say, we got a station in Minnesota. I want to thank Gary for that. Cool 101.7. If you're out there in Minnesota, you can tune me in tomorrow. I think they air the show at 11 a.m. Local time in Minnesota. And of course, soon to have a, hopefully a radio show with Tommy James that we are working on called American Jukebox. And, but what are your thoughts on radio today, Lloyd?
I guess I don't listen to a lot of radio today. I listen to talk radio, music.
Well, you've got Relics of Rarities as a preset now, is what I've been
told.
That's
right. Well, you know, the thing is that radio isn't like it was in the 60s, and of course it shouldn't be. New things change, but I don't like the directions it's gone, and my biggest complaint is that particularly oldie stations, you know, I've always been a big one that they should stop calling them oldie stations, because then it seems like only oldies are listening.
And I agree.
And I don't think it should be called that. In fact, the funny thing is I said, let's call it the Big O, and I did that on my blog, and then suddenly I saw that there was a search engine that was looking for the Big O, the other Big O.
and they Otis Redding, right?
Yeah, and it came up on a Japanese website that specialized in the Big O, and there was Lloyd Thaxton's Big O right there talking about oldies radio.
Well, I like to call it, you know, roots rock and roll or something of that nature.
Oldies is a, you know,
Nobody wants to feel old, even though we are
old. You know, and they're not old. It's people. The boomers aren't old people, you know. And so when you call them oldies, I think it drives a lot of people away. The other thing that I have against radio today is they don't really relate to the music they're playing. They have a playlist that was put together by some corporate person
who's 25 to 35 years old and doesn't have a clue.
And here's the disc jockey talking, and then all of a sudden he says, all right, and we'll be right back after this. And then they play a record. And I'm thinking, what is this? I mean, it sounded like he was introducing a commercial. And I actually sat in for Oldies Radio, and the producer was just pushing me along, and he would say things like, okay, you're going to have like a 2.5 minute break coming up because there's going to be music. And, you know, you can go to the bathroom, you can, you know, stand up and stretch, but that'll be like 2 minutes from now. I kept saying, well, what is the song that is going to be coming up, the music? And he had to look to see what it was. It had nothing to do with what we were talking about.
And sometimes they hire these jocks who have no clue. I've heard radio stations where the jock would say something like, that sweet-talking guy by the Chiffons,
yeah,
you know, instead of, you know, the Chiffons.
Yeah, well, they just don't relate, and they don't have time to relate. It's just pushed too soon. But you know what? I'm not doing it. As I told you earlier, I was never good in radio anyhow.
You sounded pretty good.
And what I've got to do is, you know, get off of any crusade to change radio, because they're making money, so who listens?
Well, I've got an email here, and it says, please tell Lloyd that Top Shelf Oldies, which is the internet station that carries my Relics of Rarity show here, Top Shelf Oldies would like to welcome Lloyd Thaxton as a candidate for their Thursday night slot. So if you're not doing anything on Thursday nights, Lloyd, and you'd like to do a show here on Top Shelf Oldies, you know, just let me know.
I will let you know.
In the meantime, you know, unfortunately, some of our East Coast friends, you know, they like their beauty sleep. So a couple of people called before 11 o'clock, and I'd like to play back the phone call for you, if I might.
Okay.
Okay, I'd like to, well, we'll just roll the tape on this.
Okay.
Here we go.
Are you ready?
Okay, yeah, recorder, I just had to check the levels.
Okay.
Recorder's running. Okay, let's go to the telephone. Hi, who's on the phone?
Hey, this is Tommy James.
Tommy James?
How are you?
Well, welcome to Relics of Rarities.
Thank you so much.
Let me check now. Is it Relics of Rarities American? Oh, no, it's the Relics of Rarity show tonight, Tom.
How are you?
Well, listen, it's great to have you call in. You're a little bit early. Lloyd Thaxton, of course, hasn't arrived yet.
Well, listen, I just want to say a special hello to Lloyd and thank him for all the great years and for all the help with all our music.
He had a wild TV show, that's for sure.
I'll tell you something. I used to watch him all the time, and we were even on his show. And I really appreciate him, and I'm sure glad he's still around, and I can still say thanks, Lloyd.
Well, listen, it's real nice of you to call. And, of course, you're still out there making records. I think the last time I went to my record store, I think I saw just a recent CD from you, Hold the Fire.
Well, that's right. We have a brand-new album out, and we charted 3 times at Adult Contemporary Radio this year, and I'm really, really glad to say we're back in the charts, and it's nice to be there.
I'm going to tell Faxon. He'll be here soon. You're just a little bit early, but I'm going to tell Lloyd. Of course, I'll definitely mention that Tommy James call. I might even play this call back for him, but I will have to let him know that he needs to get out of retirement, get back on TV, because you're probably ready to go back on the Faxon show, Tommy James.
And I would love to, and I really appreciate everything he's done for us over the years.
Well, thanks. And let me just quickly, you got to have a website.
I do. It's just TommyJames.com if anybody would like to come and check us out.
Well, I hope a lot of people come check you out, because you gave us a lot of great memories. And, Tom, thanks so much for joining yours truly, Dave the Rave, on our Relics of Rarity show as we celebrate. We bring him out of retirement, out of hiding. People thought he was dead.
I'm sure that's true.
But Lloyd Faxon lives, thank God. And thanks, Tommy, for calling in.
Thanks, Dave. Bye-bye.
Tommy James and the Shondells, of course, and Out of the Blue. Oh, we got my monitors up too loud over here. Woo! Right, you could tell I was blasting that Tommy James record. He had a lot of hits, Tommy James, and I don't know if you... Any tales you recall about visits from Tommy James on the Faxon show?
Nope.
If not, feel free to make one up. That's okay, too, Lloyd.
Oh, yeah, I remember Tommy. Of course, I remember the Shondells, and I know they were on, but I don't remember any specific thing happening. Most of the groups that were on, I got to talk to maybe 15 minutes before they came on, unless they were people that were from L.A. at the time, and I had them on several times, and sometimes they'd come down and stay at the office, and we would kibitz. But anybody that was from out of town, they usually came in, and they did more than just one show, and so they would come over, and maybe I would talk to them maybe 10 minutes before we went on. Sometimes they came in while the show was on and never got to talk to them.
Yeah, I'm going
to
guess that Tommy probably did several shows. He had Hanky Panky and, I Think We're Alone Now and Crimson and Clover. He had a whole bowl. Actually, Crimson and Clover might have been after the show had ceased to exist. But how about like some of the more recent shows? Who was on, like, Let me see. How about the very last show? Do you remember the date of the very last show and who was on it?
I have no idea.
All right. Well, that's an honest answer.
The very last show? No, I can't. I don't know. I can't even tell you anybody that was on that week. They all, you know, after a few times, they all jumbled together into one big show.
Right. Well, I think if my research is correct, that the last show included, I think the Turtles might have been on the last show. Do you remember the Turtles?
The Turtles?
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding? I had the Turtles on many times.
I think they may have been on the, I think they may have been a guest though on your very last Lloyd Thaxton show.
I think so.
I think they might have been. Anyway, we've got a call that came in earlier today as well. Another gentleman who had to get his beauty rest, but that's okay. You know, we want them to stay rested so that they can, you know, perform and still sound good. But if you don't mind, I'd like to play back something from earlier today.
Love it, I love it.
Okay, see, you should have got here earlier, Lloyd. Lloyd said, "Well, you told me to get here at 11 o'clock." Anyway, let's take a listen. Let's go to the telephone line. Hi, welcome to Relics and Rarities.
Is this Dave?
Yeah, who's this?
Dave, how you doing? This is Howard Taylor from the Turtles. How are you, man?
Well, hey, good evening to you.
Good evening to you. I was hoping to catch Lloyd. Is Lloyd Thaxton there yet?
I thought you were calling for Dave the Rave. Yeah, listen, Lloyd is actually, Howard, going to be here in a little bit. You're just a couple minutes early. Well, everybody's early. All you rock and rollers are early. Tommy James is early.
Oh.
And you got, are you both going to the same party tonight, you and Tommy James?
No, we often do, though. We do quite a bit of work together on these weekends, and this is the rare weekend where neither one of our groups are working. So this was a great time, I thought, to get on the phone early and say hi to one of my favorite guys in the world, truly, Lloyd Thaxton.
Well, Lloyd's going to be here in just a little bit, but that's great. I mean, he's going to be thrilled. I'll have to play him the phone call and let him know what he missed, unless we get you to call back, of course. But, you know, Thaxton was a special show. I know the Turtles had some great times on his program.
Let me tell you something. Back in the mid '60s, when our generation thought we controlled everything, there was a dance party show every time you turned your head. And especially where we grew up in the Los Angeles area, there were a zillion of them. And everybody who had a radio show thought that they could do a television show. So you had this infusion of radio personalities that were making their way onto the local Los Angeles television scene. And you wound up with guys like Casey Kasem and Gene Weed and Sam Riddle, yada, yada, yada. It went on and on and on. And everybody that lived in L.A. did those shows, and you had to do them, and it was okay. But over at KCOP, Channel 13, there was a show that every L.A. band wanted to do more than any other show in town, and that was Lloyd Thaxton. And I'll tell you, it was because Lloyd was different. Lloyd was a personality unto himself. Lloyd was a star. Not only did he exude star qualities when you saw him on TV, when you met him, he had an aura about him that just said, "You don't have to put on airs here. You don't have to pretend you're a big rock star here. You can let down your hair. You can lip sync a B-side if you want to. You can hang out with us. You can judge the dance competition. You can lip sync a Brenda Lee song if you feel like it. We'll hang backstage." It was more about being friends with the guys than it was, quick, get over there, hit your mark, get the song out, and hit the road. It felt like we were, you know, taking part in, I don't know, it was pre-Woodstock, but it was that feeling that your generation was really accomplishing something. And no other local L.A. show gave you that feeling. It was always a factory, in and out, in and out. Lloyd made you feel like you were part of a much bigger thing than rock and roll, that you were a part of a show business tradition, almost in a Friars Club kind of way, in a Jerry Lewis kind of way. He made all of us feel like we were celebrities.
Well, he certainly put fun into the rock and roll music that he played, and you know, he had always these crazy skits that you often would see associated, you know, with a particular song. He kind of like did the early music videos of rock and roll songs of that time with these, you know, kind of crazy things that he would have sometimes the band doing. Is there any particular, like, nutty thing that you can recall Faxon asking the Turtles to do?
Everything he asked us to do was nutty. That was the great part about the show. You knew it wasn't going to be a traditional lip-sync performance. You knew that that he was going to come out dressed as a woman to sing the Cher part of a Sonny and Cher song. I mean, you got so much for your money when you turned on the Lloyd Daxton show compared to every other teen party on television, that it was just, it was night and day. There was every other kind of show, and in that, I include Dick Clark. Every other kind of show, and then Lloyd Daxton. The difference, I think, between Lloyd and everybody else was that he never, and Dick Clark too, much to his credit, I have to say, he never talked down to his audience. He never once looked at a kid and thought of that kid as less than his equal. He would never, you know, patronize the kids that were dancing there. He would never condescend to them or to the artists on the show either. It was such a one big happy family thing that you really couldn't wait till the next record that you put out just so you could go back to the Daxton show again.
Of course, on a night like tonight when we're honoring Lloyd Daxton, I may not ask you to answer this question, but maybe on another night you can tell me about all the other shows and all the condescending behaviors that were conveyed to the Turtles by the other people. That might be a story.
Yeah, that is a show unto itself. But all you really got to know is that there was only one guy who stood head and shoulders above all the rest of those people. And considering that you can go online and pretty much purchase these days much of the television that was available back in the 60s, I have yet to see any of Lloyd's shows brought back on disc. And that was my question for Lloyd is, where are they, man? Where are the discs? Where are all those great shows? When are we going to get to see us and you the way we all were 45 years ago?